All right, friends, this is a special episode of Now's the Time, so I'm not numbering it. It's just kind of a question and answer episode, and I have my dearly beloved life. My life. I said life, which I guess is kind of right. My dearly beloved wife, Christina, sitting next to me.
Hello, everyone.
And so we're going to answer some of your questions, and we're just going to focus on the questions. So no other kind of podcast content, teaching, or whatever. Just focusing on your questions today. And we have 8 questions today that we're going to go over. So, but first of all, I guess before we get that, let me just ask you a question, Christina. Maybe just give everybody a quick update on like all these summer craziness that's been going on here. So kind of people know, you know, what happened and where we are and what's going on right now.
Well, the summer's coming to an end, and finally, after being out of our apartment for 2 months, we're back. And the reason why we were out of our apartment is because we had our kitchen and our bathroom and our toilet remodeled. And since those are the vital parts...
And I should explain that toilet is a separate room.
The toilet is a separate room in our house.
So it's not just that they remodeled the toilet itself, but that's the room, the toilet room.
That's right. And so... because those are such vital parts in the house, it would be impossible to continue living here with no access to water, no access to any kind of cooking facility or toilet for that matter.
Yeah, that makes it hard.
So we, for the first part, we went to the Carpathian Mountains for vacation. And when we got back, we moved into my parents' apartment with 2 of our kids, and my parents took the other 3 children, and they went and they stayed in the apartment where I grew up, about 6 hours away from us. And so just recently they came back with our kids, and now we're reunited. We're in our apartment. Praise the Lord. There are just a few little tiny finishing touches left on the kitchen, but it's functional. And we're just so thankful that now we can cook in the kitchen. The water is on. It's all working. It's beautiful.
Yeah, and all of our families in one
place. And all of the families in one place. That's a blessing.
Because the girls came... today is Thursday. The girls came back on...
Monday,
yeah.
So it's wonderful to have them back. And now, after this big craziness... we just have a week and a half left before we have to head to Moldova for our team meeting. And after that, the school starts. And I can't believe the summer is gone. I really can't. Can you?
No, but I'm kind of glad.
But it's good. It's good to get back into routine.
Yeah, it's good when the seasons change. And yeah, getting back into the routine is good.
And it's cooler outside. And that's a very pleasant and welcomed change.
Yeah. All right, well, let's get to some of the questions here. The first question is this. Just how much danger are you in at your location? You've not been showing a lot of close damage. Has it lessened of late? And also a question about my sister Rachel, because my sister Rachel is in Kyiv, and how much danger she is in. Well, you know, honestly, we don't really feel like we're in much danger here. The closest fighting to us is about... 450 kilometers from here, which is how much? It's like 270 miles, something like that.
I'm bad.
I think it's something about like maybe almost around 300 miles, 275 or something like that miles from here. So as far as the war goes, we don't have shooting of mortars and guns and things like that. The thing that we do have here on an occasion is some sort of terrorist activity where they will usually blow up some office of some pro-Ukrainian organization or something like that. But those two, they're pretty isolated and they tend to do them at night, so there's not a lot of like danger from them, I wouldn't say.
Well, they usually are targeted just to destroy property rather than kill people. I think there has been only one person who died, and he was the one who was carrying the explosive.
The bomber himself accidentally blew himself up.
Yeah, so we've been, and we actually live in the part of town that is outside in the outskirts, and so we don't see a lot of that type of activity here.
The most dangerous thing here is probably like the wild dogs
and the drivers
that roam around. Yeah, the drivers
and the drunks.
And in the summer too, there's a lot of just, you know, people that, you know, if you're walking late at night or even during the day that might get robbed or something like that.
Muggings.
So you kind of muggings, that kind of a thing. So we just have to be careful of that. This has not happened to our family, thankfully.
Yeah, we don't normally wear very thick gold chains on our necks and pig earrings.
And then my sister's in Kiev. She's probably actually a little bit further away or about a similar distance to the fighting. So similar situation for her. So, I mean, in short, we do feel safe here. And we're not just living on edge. We don't hear bombs dropping and stuff like that. Okay, question number two. Where do the refugees live? In tents or are they in buildings? I think near the war zone, some of them actually have been in tents, but that was probably not right now. But in some of those areas where they had to be evacuated quickly. But right now, like the refugees we're ministering to, the disabled refugees, they live in what they call a sanatorium. Is that what they call it?
Yeah.
And it's just like this
resort.
Big... Yeah, resort. But it's actually government-owned, these huge buildings near here that are on the shore of this salty lake where they do different kinds of mud baths and things like that. And so they put them up there. They're Soviet buildings. They're kind of old. And so that's where they are. But, I mean, they house them wherever they can. But generally not in tents. Not that I've seen.
There are some little refugee towns that are built closer to the front lines. And they're, you know, makeshift type of facilities where people live in shipping containers that are being made into little apartments. But here, some of the refugees already had to find their own accommodations. But when they first came here last year, they lived in like camping areas where they just had little cabins, and they lived in those cabins till November. And you can imagine in November it gets pretty cold here, and those cabins are not made to be lived in.
Well, they didn't have heat, did they?
And I think they had maybe some of those portable heaters.
Oh, okay.
And so they were moved to this resort area. I mean, it sounds grand, but in fact, it's not a very good kind of place. It was in disrepair, and
it's not really meant to be lived in like long term either.
No,
so.
Absolutely not. It's just, but now each of them, each family has a small room and a bathroom, their own separate bathroom, kind of like a very tiny hotel room. And they're being fed, and so right now they're provided for, at least with that.
All right, let's go to the next question. What are the separatists, or who are the separatists? Well, generally, the separatists are those who are fighting in eastern Ukraine to separate from Ukraine. And so they are against the Ukrainian government, and they want to either set up their own little country there, which they call the... Well,
Donetsk People's Republic.
Yeah, Donetsk People's Republic, Luhansk People's Republic, or Novorossiya. There's like New Russia. And so that's who the separatists are. So that's basically who the Ukrainian army is fighting.
And the separatists are mainly supporters of the old regime. It's people
you mean like
who
the
are,
Soviet
of the No, they're supporters of the Yanukovych, or the previous president. Yes, they're proponents of his government.
All right, let's go to question four. Is there anything we as a church can do to aid you other than funds and prayer? And I would say, well, yes, of course, always funds and prayer is important. I wouldn't be here without both of those things. But what else can you do? One simple thing that I would say is just, if you can, you know, share any of the news items, the blog posts, things like that. get the word out to other people, other friends, and to your church. That's always very helpful. Right now, we don't have any sort of, say, you know, big building projects or anything like that that we're bringing people over for. We do have those on occasion, or not necessarily building projects, but sometimes, like, for instance, we'll have a group that will come over to help with a children's camp, or ministry to orphans, or something of that nature.
We've had medical teams
coming, doctors
and nurses and dentists.
And so I just say, you know, if you get our email updates, those are things we'll let you know about in our email updates as those opportunities come up. So just stay tuned to our email updates for those things. All right, Christina, what's the next question?
Does your family usually worship at a church near your home, or are you continually traveling and ministering in other areas? We normally worship at a church that's close to us, and that's the church that we started going to when we first came here. We knew the pastor from a long time before, and we really enjoy our church. We have lots of friends there, and our children have friends there. Our children have ministries there, and we have ministry there. But I find it that now we go to other churches more often. And I think especially now, since our children are not so small anymore, and it makes it a little bit easier to just go and visit another church. So we've been going to various churches, and Caleb has been preaching, and it's just good to get to know people
from Well, yeah, and in connection with the Institute also, because we have a lot of churches that are involved with the Institute training. So because of that, I do end up traveling on a fair amount of time to other churches and speaking there. So it's always nice to be able to connect with other churches wherever we go. In fact, I was just invited to Nikolaev because they're going to be having graduation in like 2 weeks, but I can't go. So that's kind of a bummer. But yeah, so mainly we're at our home church here. Ideal is to try and be at our home church at least 2 Sundays out of the month. And I think usually I'm there at least 2 or even 3 Sundays sometimes. Yeah. Okay, next one. Do your children go to Ukrainian schools, or do you homeschool them? That's probably a good one for you too, Christina.
Our children did go to a Ukrainian school when we first came here. And for 2 years, they have attended a Ukrainian school nearby. But then we moved. It's within, I guess, within 2 miles from that place. And it became very inconvenient to go back there every day. So we try to enroll them into a Russian
school. 2 miles doesn't sound very far away, but we're walking, so. Or, and the kids are walking. They'd have to walk those 2 miles. I don't even think it's 2 miles.
Well, it's probably not even
It's not 2 miles.
Okay, let's say 1 mile.
It's a mile at the most, yeah, but still. It was the difference between them just walking across a field.
And then walking across several busy streets. Yeah. And so we decided to enroll them into a Russian school, which is just down the street from us. Don't have to cross any busy streets. But Russian-speaking schools think too highly of themselves in our area. And so they said, no, your kids, you know, they don't know Russian, even though they know Ukrainian. So they basically were just fishing for a bribe, which I really felt that it just was not right. And so we decided that we will just put that off. And then we realized that we were expecting another baby, and lots of things were changing in our lives. And we decided to enroll them into a Becca. And right now they're doing a Becca DVDs, or this year most of them will be doing online videos. And it has been great. It has been very flexible. I can't say it was easy. The first year was so tough.
Homeschooling is not easy, no matter how you look at it.
But I really feel that they're getting good education, and they're putting good effort into it. And of course, I'm making sure they're putting good effort into it. But it's a good school program for us at this point, and it makes it easy for us wherever we go. We can always have it with us. We can bring our books. All the schooling is online. And this year, the older children are going to take tests online, which is going to be very nice. No possibility of losing any of those tests, like what happened to us last year.
Yeah, that's happened before.
And don't have to retake anything. Everything is digital, and it's great.
Okay, next question. What did you do for fun in your younger years when you lived in the U.S.? So I guess that one's to me, but I'll have Christina respond to that too, although she didn't live in the U.S. in her younger years. She lived in Ukraine. But for me, growing up, I grew up in a big family, 8 kids. I was a third of 8. And one of the things, I guess the thing that I always enjoyed more than anything was riding my bike. And so we had a big ramp, like an 8-foot-high ramp, actually 2 ramps in our backyard, kind of like a half pipe. And when the weather was good, my older brother and I would be out there riding our bikes on those ramps, jumping, and we built jumps in the backyard, all kinds of stuff. So we had a lot of fun just riding our bikes around when I was growing up. And I still like riding bikes and unicycles. I like that too. And I had a unicycle too growing up. So that's what I did for fun. I don't know, Christine, what did you do? Did you guys have fun in the Soviet Union? Was it legal?
I suppose we did have some fun. I'm trying to remember. I grew up just with a younger brother who was quite a bit younger than me. And so I never really did anything with him. But I remember we would, my friends and I would just kind of mill around, just walk around, talk. I mean,
sounds honestly like fun.
I've gone to a couple of movies. I don't know. It just seems like I remember doing a lot of schoolwork. I remember studying English. I remember
just being involved with youth group. Wouldn't you like go ice skating or skiing or something?
No.
I thought you went ice skating. Well, did you have ice skates?
I was just a little kid, and I only had one pair of skates, and so they only fit me for one season.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, I couldn't. I mean, it was really a challenge to fit them on my feet after that. So yeah, and I do not share the love for bikes. Because as a child, I never had a bike. My parents never bought me one. And I asked them, I said, oh, I never learned to ride a bike. And my parents said, well, you never asked us to buy you a bike. So that's okay. I'm good without riding a bike.
I can teach you.
Oh, that's all right. I feel like the older I get, the more I'm afraid to fall off of that height. And the scarier it is for me.
Okay, so there you have it. Fun in the Soviet Union was just milling around with friends. Okay.
No, we would go. We'd go to the beach. And we would have parties together.
All right. So, and the last question is: are you coming to the States anytime soon? Well, our next official furlough that we're looking at would probably be starting summer of 17. Yeah, this is summer 15. Yeah. So anyway, sometime in 17, 2017, but summer, fall of 17. That being said, it's possible that I might make a trip or two before that, but I can't exactly tell you when at this point. But if you're interested in having me come and speak in your church or to your group or anything like that, let me know, and that way I can have a list of people that are interested in that, and then if I do come even for a week or two or something like that, then I'll make sure to contact you, and then you can we can set something up if possible. So let me know if you're interested in that at all. All right, I wanted to share one last thing, and that is in September we're doing something called September Pray for Ukraine, and I'm going to be sending out daily prayer reminders each day in the month of December. And that's only for people who want that, only for people who sign up. But I'm hoping that we'll have a good group of people who will sign up for that, because, you know, we're really at a point, I believe, right now where we're seeing some really, really amazing opportunities for ministry, both with refugees, but also with our institute, with a lot of things that we are doing online. And we just feel that this is a vital time to go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him for direction, for provision, for wisdom, and for success in preaching the gospel here in Ukraine. And so we want to ask you to do that with us. So there is a link in the show notes for that sign up. Or you can just go to sukufamily.org/September and sign up to get that. And it's just for the month of December. So I'm not asking you to commit to anything more.